Thank you for leading us to the throne of God. That was beautiful. As we look at our world, it's easy and natural for us to question and ask, where is our world going? What is the future? And if we spend too long looking at the affairs of our world, it's also easy for our hearts to become greatly troubled. This morning, I want to remind us of the words of Jesus. He said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." When Christ uttered these words, the world he lived in was no more favorable and inviting than the world we live in today. In fact, Christ knew what we now know, that his very life was in extreme danger. That within just a very few short hours, he would actually be arrested, tried, and crucified for something he never did wrong. That terrible Friday afternoon, nearly 2,000 years ago, on a hill outside Jerusalem, was where he was going to die. And he knew it. He knew it when he uttered these words, "Do not let your heart be troubled." Many of us here this morning don't have a bright future before us. Some of us have heard some very difficult words. We know we are in financial ruin, or worse yet, some of us have received some medical news that is not good. We're just wondering how much more we can take. Some of us are on the brink of disaster. To you, I want to bring hope and courage today. Jesus understands your situation. And Jesus has not only hope, but he has a fantastic future for you. Notice what Jeremiah said. God said, through Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." It is because of this weekend, nearly 2,000 years ago, that this promise can be fulfilled. When Christ uttered those words, "Do not let your heart be troubled," it's because of this promise and other promises in God's Word. Jesus had just finished washing the disciples' feet there in that upper room as they were celebrating the Passover supper together. And he took some of the food right off that table and gave it new meaning and new purpose. We look back on it now and call it the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper or Communion. We recall reading last week in John 13:11, "For he knew who was going to betray him." And that was why he said, "Not everyone is clean." Yet in just a very few minutes, even though he knew this, he utters the words, "Don't let your heart be troubled." We follow the story reading on down in verse 18 of chapter 13 of John. "I am not referring to all of you. I know those who I have chosen. But this is to fulfill this passage of Scripture. He who shared my bread has turned against me. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Very truly I tell you, whoever accepts me, anyone I send accepts me. And whoever accepts and accepts the one who sent me." After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "Very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another at the loss which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. And Simon Peter motioned to him and said, "Ask him which one he meant." leaning back against Jesus, he asked, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, "What you are about to do, do quickly." But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to go buy what was needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. I share this with you this morning to remind you that nothing, literally nothing, catches God by surprise. Jesus knew the heart of Judas. Even though the disciples trusted Judas and even looked up to him as a trusted leader, as the treasurer of the group, he carried the money bag. Jesus knew his heart. He knew that Judas was already negotiating with the political religious leaders to sell him off for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus knew this. He even knew the price that he was going to sell him for long before it took place. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. Zechariah 11:13, "And the Lord said to me, 'Throw it to the potter, the handsome price at which they valued me.' So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them at the potter at the house of the Lord." After Judas betrayed Jesus, he was so troubled in his heart that he literally threw the money back to the religious leaders in sorrow, and they used the money to purchase the potter's field. The story is recorded, Matthew 27, 3-8. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse. "Returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders. 'I have sinned,' he said, 'for I have betrayed innocent blood.' 'What's that to us?' they replied. 'That's your responsibility.' So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priest picked up the coins and says it's against the law to put it into the treasury since it is blood money. So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why it has been called the field of blood to this day. Yet Jesus could still say, 'Do not let your hearts be troubled.' Even though he knew that. How could he say that when he knew what was even right then taking place? How is it possible for him today to say to us, 'Do not let your hearts be troubled'? Does he understand what you're up against? Does he know the news you're listening to? Let's read just a little bit further on there in this passage. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." This kind of confidence can only come from one who knows what is happening. And knows that what is happening is according to God's plan. Nothing is catching God by surprise. He has known all along what would happen. He still knows what is going to happen. Yes, even to little old you and me. He knows. We too can have that confidence because we know that God is still in control today. Over in Matthew 24, 3-14, Jesus tells us, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but See to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. Does that sound like fun? No. But Jesus is telling us, and he goes on, at that time many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end might be saved. Oh, I read it wrong? The one who stands firm to the end, what? Will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Does God know the future? Does God know what is going to happen in your life and mine? It sounds fearful and terrible, doesn't it? But notice, God is simply telling us in advance what is going to take place. The reason he is telling us is not to scare us, but to give us courage, to give us hope. That when we see these things happening, we're going to say, oh yes, I kind of forgot, but he did tell us, didn't he? That's exactly what he said was going to happen. It is happening. I don't have to fear, because God is still in control. We can have the confidence knowing that God has not been caught by surprise. He knew of thousands of years ago exactly what was going to happen in our day. He is still in control. This passage ends, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a testimony to all nations, and what? Then the end will come. Just as Jesus was telling his disciples what was going to happen in the next few hours, so that when it did happen, they would remember that Jesus already knew about it, that it didn't catch them by surprise. In the same way, Jesus is telling us what's going to happen so that when it does happen, we don't have to be frightened about it. We can say, yes, that's what Jesus said would happen, and there is more to come. If we are faithful to the end, he will save us. He said that. He's promised us that. And knowing that as soon as we finish preaching the gospel or the good news about Jesus to the entire world, Jesus is going to return should give us a motivation to do something, shouldn't it? We should be out there telling our neighbors and our friends about the soon coming of Jesus. Don't you see how Jesus' message back then is still the same message for us today? Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If that were not so, would I not have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be with me where I am. This story isn't finished yet. Not for the disciples, not for us. But Jesus has told us enough so we don't need to be fearful. Let's finish the story there that weekend. Jesus continues with now the 11 disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. Let's pick up the story there in John 18, verse 1. When he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples, crossed the Kidron Valley to the other side. There was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the garden, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am here." "Him," Jesus said. Did you catch that? What does it say? Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, what did he do? Went out and asked him, "Who is it you want?" "I'm he. Take me. I'm the one you're looking for." He was able to do that because he knew all that was going to happen to him. Would you have that kind of confidence if you knew all that was going to happen to you? You can. When you know that whatever is going to happen to you is according to God's will, and that God is in control, that nothing can happen to you except what God is going to use for His glory. We see Jesus arrested, tried, condemned to death. The disciples forget everything Jesus told them. They flee. They're crushed. They're bitter. They're devastated. Why? Because they weren't listening when Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be with me where I am." Oh, they thought they were listening. If you'd asked them, they would have said they were listening. They might have been able to even repeat the words to you. But they weren't listening. They weren't really listening. And neither are we. What is happening all around us is not catching God by surprise. God knows everything that's going to happen. He knows it all. And He tells us, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." He tells us, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to come again. I'm going to take you to where I am." Jesus knows everything that is going to happen. So He could step forward in confidence and say, "Who are you looking for? Here I am. I'm He." What was He ready to go and do? He was ready to go and die for you. That's what He was ready to do. He was ready to take your sins upon Himself and go to the cruel cross and pay for those sins so that you could have life. Why? Because He loves you that much. But that's still not the end. Jesus says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. I am coming again to receive you. I'm preparing a place for you. I'm going there. I am going to be doing this. Yes, I'm dying. But that's not the end of the story." Jesus said, "Believe me, I am going to go back to heaven. And I am going to prepare a place for you. I am going to come again and take you to be with me." Are you hearing Him? That tomb couldn't hold Him in. He had a mission to perform. He was going back to His Father to prepare a place for you. He couldn't stay in that tomb. He had something to do for you. Friends, this is what makes Christianity different from every other religion in the world. We have a risen Savior. And He is preparing a place for you. He has purchased your salvation. And He has a plan for your life. He loves you as an individual. He knows what He's going to do. And because of that, we can say today with Him, "Do not let our hearts be troubled. We believe in God. Believe also in Christ." Do you hear what Jesus is saying to you today? Do you really hear Him? Then why are we fearful? Why are we worried? why all the hate mail flying out of your email boxes. And yes, he sees it. I see it. It gets forwarded to me too. And it saddens God's heart. We have no business talking bad about anybody. Everything that's going on in this world is in God's plan. He knows about it. Our job is to live so close to Him that others see Him in us. We're not here to judge or condemn or to criticize anybody, particularly the leaders that God has set up. Because He says He sets them up, doesn't He? And He takes them down. They're there to do God's purposes. Stop criticizing and judging and start living the life that God has for you. Friend, the tomb is empty this morning. And Jesus' message for us is the same that He gave to His disciples 2,000 years ago. And I want you to say it with me. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with Me, that you may also be where I am. Amen.
Call him Jesus. Father, we thank you that we can face the future with confidence because you live. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he did just move ahead with what he planned to do when he came to this earth. That he didn't draw back, but he died for us. But that death was not the end, it was only the beginning in reality, because now he lives for eternity and he offers that to us. Father, we thank you for that gift. We accept it anew this morning. We pray that you will use us to help hasten that day when you can come so we can soon go home together with you, is our prayer in Christ's name.